Matthew chapter 16, talking to Peter and Jesus Christ, having a conversation here. And really, I mean, we read down through these verses and we look at this stuff and we think, you know, we've read this a million times, but this is one of the most important conversations in the Bible, especially for the church, especially for, I know we're in the Old Testament Jewish type setting here in Matthew, but this is a very, very, very important few verses we're going to read, and we'll begin here in just a minute, but let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word, Jesus Christ, that came to die for this world and rose again, Lord. We thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the eternal security you've given us, Lord, for sealing us with your Spirit. Thank you for a Bible that we can count on. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together and to brag on you and to sing praises to you and to teach and preach and read your Word. And we ask for your blessing on it today, that you'd bless and breathe on the message. And Lord, help us. We need you. If you don't show up, this is all in vain. And I ask for your blessing on the nursing home coming up this afternoon, that you'd breathe on it and bless it. And just help us through each day, Lord. We're looking forward to you coming back. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Matthew chapter 16, again, we understand Matthew. We talked about this in Sunday school. Matthew, before the cross, is an Old Testament setting. And we've talked about the fact that Jesus Christ's ministry was primarily to the Jews. It was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he came, his heart's desire is to be their king. And they rejected him as their king. And he was crucified, but his death, burial, and resurrection is the reason we get to heaven. Amen. It's the blood that was shed on Calvary. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blood. Are you washed in the blood? We sang that before Sunday school. And that's the question you have to answer is, are you washed in the blood? Because if you're not washed in the blood, you're not washed. Amen. If you think you're going to sneak in on your righteousness, you're going to be sadly mistaken and sadly disappointed. We're going to get in on Jesus Christ's righteousness. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. But in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, we'll read down through here a few verses. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this, I'm telling you, this is one of the most important passages you can look at in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament setting here, and this in a New Testament age, because there are some things that we need to look at here. And the first thing is, verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a serious question. I mean, that's serious business. Who is Jesus? That's one of the most important questions you'll ever be asked. And, you know, people ask that all the time, you know, who is Jesus? And, you know, Jesus was standing before Pilate right before the crucifixion, and he's talking about truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? Well, he's standing there talking to truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the word of God. That's a serious question, though. I mean, a very serious question. That's one of the most important questions that could ever be asked. And we look at verse 14, and it says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. What's a serious question, but there are several opinions. Several opinions. You get that same thing today. You get several opinions today on who Jesus is. And that who he is determines where you end up. And that's the thing right there. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they say, well, he was a man and he was God's son, but he wasn't God. Well, if he was a man and he was God's son, but he wasn't God, then his blood couldn't wash away your sin, because it takes God's blood to wash away your sin. So there's a problem there. It's a serious question. There are several answers that most of them are wrong. Amen. There are a lot of right answers. He's the Word of God. He's the Creator. He can go on down the list of different things. He's God Himself. He's the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You go down the list, but there are a lot of wrong answers. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, He's not God. Well, if He's not God, we're all in trouble.
Right.
And I'm not saying if He was not God, if He is not God.
Right.
Because Jesus Christ is not a has-been. He's an is. Amen. He's the I am. So, a serious question with several answers. You know, Muslims, and they say, well, he was a good man, he was a prophet, but he's not God. And they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe their book either, though, because they don't know what it says.
Yep.
Their book says that Jesus Christ was sinless and he's in heaven right now, and their prophet, the one they think that Jesus Christ is going to bow down to, their prophet needed a Savior.
Yep.
So if their prophet needed a Savior and our Savior is perfect and sinless and in heaven, why would our Savior bow down to their false prophet?
Right.
He won't. But see, it's a serious question, several answers. And you get the Catholic Church. They say, well, he died for our sins, but you got to add this, that, and the other to it. You get the Methodist Church. They say the same thing now. You get the Presbyterian Church. They say the same thing now. Well, we're saved by grace through faith, but you got to do this, you got to do that. Some of the grace comes through the Lord's Supper. Some of the grace comes through baptism. Just all this stuff they try to add to Jesus Christ. Try to say he was not enough. Well, He's the door that God opened that allows us to get back. No, he's not the door that God opened. He's the door.
Amen.
He's not a door that was opened to give you a chance to get into heaven. He's the door to heaven. He said, I am the door.
Yep.
He's the only way into heaven. So when they ask that question, that serious question, who is Jesus, and you get these several opinions, you've got to realize who he really is. Because if he's not God, then you and I can't be saved through his blood.
Right.
If he's not God, we're in trouble.
Yep.
But he is God. It was a serious question. There are several different answers. People tell you different things today. You know, oh yeah, we believe Jesus died for our sins, but you got to be water baptized. We believe Jesus Christ died for our sins, but yeah, he'll save you, but then you got to work to keep it. Or we believe Jesus Christ this, that, or the other. No, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he didn't just take away your sin from the time you got saved backwards. He got all of your sin.
Right.
He took all of your sin. Before you even sinned it, he took it to hell with him. And he dropped it off and he came back up because he didn't have any sin in him. He had a sin debt load on him that he took for you and me. He dropped it off down there so you don't have to go there. And he come back out of there as sinless as he was when he went in there. But he dropped that sin debt off. You know, that whole idea, that whole pride of man that thinks you got to add something to what Jesus Christ did, that's just wickedness. Serious question, several opinions. You get scholars, okay, they can't refute the historical evidence that says Jesus Christ existed and he walked this earth, but they can make up all kinds of lies and historical blunders and try to say, well, explain away the resurrection and explain away all this stuff. And, Jesus was just a man. And, religion was made up because man's trying to make death a little more palatable or whatever, they want to say. Really, we just come from nothing a gazillion years ago that blew up and turned into everything, and everything, climbed out of the sea and as an amoeba, and then it come into a form of a monkey, and then it turned into a scientist. Amen? Actually, the monkeys are probably better. They're better. They're more evolved than most of the scientists, obviously, because they got more common sense. They know where to go to get their food.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? Scientists don't know where to go to get their food. If they did, they'd read the Bible.
Amen.
And they'd read it to get something from God instead of trying to fight with God. But it's a serious question. Who is Jesus? Several opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. What's your opinion? The spotless Lamb of God. The spotless Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's God Himself. Acts 20:28 says He shed God's own blood. Serious question. Several opinions. Look at verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Specific to individuals. It's personal.
Yep.
He says, who do men say that I am? And they start giving him all these. He goes, who do you say that I am? It is personal. Salvation is personal. Salvation is not, it doesn't hinge on what your church believes. It's what you believe. It doesn't hinge on whether or not our water up here is 78 degrees or 94 degrees. It hinges on whether you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You believe that His blood atonement can pay your sin debt, and you call on Him, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't hinge on whether or not you're a Roman Catholic or a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or what have you. It hinges on what you believe about you as a sinner and Him as the Savior and what you do with that. It's personal. See, a lot of people don't think it's personal. Some folks do, but they're confused, and other people don't think it's personal at all. I've talked to people all the time, and they say, well, I go through the plan of salvation with them, and they say, well, yeah, I'm good. I've been baptized. No, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. Acts 2:38 doesn't apply to you. Amen. That's not about, that's a different deal. That's not what we're talking about. And they say, well, are you saved? You know where you're going when you leave this world? I've had people go, I'm Catholic. Well, that's not the answer either. I've had people say, well, I'm Baptist. And I said, well, that's not the answer either. Oh, we go to the Methodist church. We go to the Baptist church. I had a guy tell me one time, I got a membership of the Methodist church and the Baptist church over here. And I'm thinking, man, you got yourself covered. But you're going to go to hell if you hadn't trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you'll stand before a great white throne of judgment and you'll say, yeah, but I belong to the Methodist church and the Baptist church. Yeah, but you didn't belong to me. You were still a child of the devil. See, it's personal. It's a serious question. There are several opinions. It's specific to individuals. It's a personal thing. Look at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a supernatural answer. Isn't that something? Who do you think Jesus is? Oh, the philosophers will tell you. Oh, He was a man. He was a good man. There are lost people that will tell you the majesty of the King James Bible and the beautiful words and all the idea and the principles of Jesus Christ, but they don't believe He's God. They don't believe He's the Savior. But Simon Peter knew who He was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew exactly who He was. It's a supernatural answer. He's not just a man of the tribe of Judah. He's not just a man that was a good man and a prophet. He's not just a man at all. He's all man and all God. It's a supernatural answer. The Christ. That's the one that they sent down to be their king. God the Father sent Him down to be their king. And it was His Son. Son of the living God. Supernatural answer. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. It's a supernatural answer, and it's spiritually revealed. Now please take me seriously when I say this, if you've never taken me seriously when I've said this before. This book is important. These words are important. This Scripture is important. Paul told Timothy that the Scripture was able to make him wise unto salvation. And the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's very important. It's spiritually, the answer to the question, who is Jesus, is spiritually revealed. And it's revealed through the Word of God. It's revealed through Scripture. If we didn't have a Bible, you wouldn't be going to heaven. There has to be truth out there, and we have it. So believe me when I tell you, we should be giving people Scripture, you should be giving people Scripture. Hand them a tract. Because it's not something that is revealed just in here. And I think there are a lot of people in their head that believe that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says, but it never makes it to their heart. Because they have a head knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. The devil has a head knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. But he's not saved. It's spiritually revealed. What's the Bible say? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are truth. John 6:63. It's the Word of God. It's spiritually revealed. It's revealed. The Word of God is revealed by the Word of God. The salvation of God is revealed by the Word of God. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the fact that He was dead, buried, and rose again. All that stuff according to the Scriptures. That's paraphrased. But that's from the Word of God. So you say, do I actually believe the Bible? I actually believe the Bible. When I talk to people and I tell them you're a sinner, I say, for the Bible says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know what they do? They sit there and they hear those words and it's serious. It doesn't just go in here a lot of times. You can see it going down here. You can see it registering. Because I'm not just giving them my opinion. I'm not going to put on some Bermuda shorts and get me a funky Hawaiian t-shirt and start having church up here and just sitting on the steps and going, man, Jesus, he was a good fellow, man. You need to be on Jesus' side. Because that'll damn people to hell. It's the Word of God that's important. It's the Word of God. It's spiritually revealed. Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's scriptural. Upon this rock I will build my church. Remember in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, when Israel was out in the wilderness, and he told Moses to strike the rock and water come out of it, and then he told him next time to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock the second time. That rock's a picture of Jesus Christ. That rock's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's scriptural. Jesus Christ is the rock. That's the scriptural answer that Jesus Christ gave. It's not just some man's opinion. It's a type in the Old Testament, that rock that give them that life-giving water in the Old Testament is the same rock that gives you, it's a picture of that rock, a type of that rock that gives you the life-giving water in the New Testament. Remember the woman at the well? That water that springs up into eternal life? That's a type. The Old Testament rock in the wilderness is a type of that. That's a scriptural answer. These serious questions are several opinions. It's specific to individuals. It's a supernatural answer. It's spiritually revealed. And I believe the only way that it's revealed to a man in his heart and in his soul is by the words of God. And it's scriptural. The scriptural answer is he's the rock. He's the rock. He's the one that had to have been smitten so you and I could live. He's the one you have to speak to after salvation, so you can live the way he wants you to live. And he's the one you have to listen to. Look at verse 18 again. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's superior to all. Now I've heard it 100,000 times, I've read it, I don't know, 100,000 times, I've heard it a lot, and I've read it and thought this myself. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That it is referring to the rock. Church don't have to worry about hell. Jesus Christ went to hell and dropped off the church's debt, and the gates of hell did not prevail against that rock, because that rock come back out. He lives. He lives because he's God. Serious question. Several opinions. What's your opinion? And does your opinion match up with truth? You see, that's the problem. Most people's opinion don't match up with truth. I've witnessed to people on a regular basis that tell me things like, I'm on my own journey. Well, let me tell you where your own journey ends up. You're on your way to hell. And you're going to go to Buddha, and you're going to go to Confucius, and you're going to go to psychologist, and you're going to go to Bible correctors and religious people, and you're going to go to different churches, and you're going to try to do all these good works, and you're on your journey, and you just believe that if you can make this world a better place, that you'll please God. And the truth is, God's going to burn this place to the ground. He's not concerned about this place. He's concerned about your soul. But I get it all the time. I'm kind of on my own journey. I was too until I got saved. Now I'm on a journey with Jesus Christ. My own journey was taking me the wrong direction.
Right.
They take a lot of these Baptist churches now, they close them down, and they call them things like Journey. Yep. You'll see the church names all over the Journey Church. We're on a journey. Well, maybe I don't want to go to the same place you're going.
Yeah.
I don't have to, amen? If you're going the wrong direction, I don't have to because I'm saved. Yeah. But who is Jesus? Well, I preached a message a couple, 3 years ago about who is Jesus. I didn't realize Billy Graham had preached it too. I'm standing on some sacred ground preaching the same title he preached. But I just hope I don't end up the same way he ended up. Well, I hope he's in heaven, but I mean, I don't end up doctrinally goofed up at the end. But the thing is, who is Jesus? He's the person of God. The book of Hebrews says he's the express image of God. He's the second person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, and he's the part of the Trinity that was mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, let there be light. He's light. And he's also the Word that said, let there be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. in John chapter number 1, verse 1, John chapter number 1, verse 12, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is a creator. Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Jesus Christ is the answer, not an answer. Jesus Christ is the truth, not some truth. Jesus Christ is the door, not a door. He's the door, amen. He's not just somebody that give you another chance. He is your chance. He's the person of God. He's the power of God. God spoke things into existence with His Word. Jesus Christ is His Word. You know what Jesus Christ, remember what He said? He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up again. That's power. That resurrection power is Jesus Christ's power because He's God. If the Jehovah's Witnesses were right, and they're not right, I don't think they're right about anything that I know of, except I heard one say, in anger, your precious King James Bible. I agree with that. That's the only thing I ever agreed with them on. But I don't think they're right about it. If they were right, though, Jesus Christ would still be in the grave and you'd still be on your way to hell, and so would I. If they were right, they'd be telling you what tribe they're from. If they were right, they'd be telling you that they were male Jewish virgins and they were the 144,000. But they're none of those things. They're deceived. And not only are they deceived, they put out great effort to deceive others. Great effort. I mean, they're learned in their beliefs. Make the Baptist shame. Shame, shame on the Baptist. If we were learned in our doctrine and our beliefs and we rightly divided the way they wrongly divide, man, we'd be winning souls to Christ all the time. If we were serious about praying about lost souls as they are going out getting people to stay lost, man, oh man, we'd be building a new church every 6 months if we were as serious as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Like the old Baptist preacher said, I wish I could tell my people they could lose it so they'd get right and stay right. Amen. But they think they're working their way to heaven, the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And they don't even know who they are. They don't even understand the Bible. They don't understand what the Bible says. All they know is somebody told them that that's wrong in the Bible. This is what that should be. And they replace the truth with a lie, and they're out there doing it all day long. A lot of times, 2 or 3 days a week, and they'll go to door to door to door to door. They're writing letters. They're putting out phone calls. They're putting out all this effort to damn people to hell. Because they don't understand who Jesus is. He's the person of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the power of God. He's the propitiation. He's the satisfying element. He's the one that satisfied your sin, debt, and mine. He's the only one that could. He's the payment. He's the payment. God said, for all of sin come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you all to come to heaven. There's only one way. There's got to be a payment made. And He said, I'm going to send my Son. He's the payment. He's going to shed His blood. There's the atonement. He's the payment. Who is Jesus? He's God's purpose. You know what God's purpose is? To show mercy, grace, and judgment. You know what Jesus Christ is? He's mercy, grace, and judgment. You know what He helped you with before He gave you the mercy and grace? He helped you with judgment. Yep, amen. So you could see yourself as lost and on your way to hell. Yep. And you could see Him as the Lord and Savior, the only chance we had. The only thing we need, the only payment that could be made, the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood that was shed, and you call on Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He's the payment. He's God's purpose. God likes to show mercy. I'd say He loves to show mercy. He loves to show grace. Who is Jesus? He's the person, the second person of the Godhead. He's the power of God. He's the propitiation, the payment, the purpose. He's the payment for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews, died once for all. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin in the Old Testament. It could cover them for a while. It could keep them going for a while. It had to be done on a regular basis. But Jesus Christ shed God's perfect blood on Calvary, and it's a once for all salvation. Here in this church age, you're saved forever. He pays your entire debt. I mean, we had a big debt. But God had a bigger payment. He said, my debt, you don't understand my debt. Well, you don't understand God's payment. If you had the whole debt of the world together, there was more payment than enough. Amen. Matter of fact, He bought the sin-cursed world back. He's going to put His foot on the Mount of Olives and His foot on the Mediterranean Sea. That Mount of Olives, is going to, that thing's going to split open, and that water's going to run down through there, And that's going to run down through that strait into that Dead Sea, and everything's going to be alive again. The lion and the lamb are laid down together. He's going to judge perfectly for 1,000 years on this earth in a place that's restored. And the devil's going to goof it all up again right before the Battle of Gog and Magog. And then God's going to burn this place down. But he took the curse of the earth. Not just your sin debt, he took the curse of the earth. That crown of thorns was that picture, that type of the thorns and thistles of this ground that he took on his brow so there could be a new heaven and a new earth one day. Who is Jesus? Well, he's a good man. He's a prophet. He's that and much more. He's your payment. He's God's purpose. Who is Jesus? What has Jesus done? There's another question for you. What has Jesus done? Who is Jesus? Well, he came to be the King of Israel. True story, he came to be the King of Israel. You know God knew before the foundation of the earth they were going to reject him? And he still gave them a chance? How do I know? He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, is what the Bible says in Revelation. What's he done? Well, he came to be the King. That's true. But he also paid the entire sin debt of the world. That's what he's done. Even people go, I believe who Jesus is. They don't understand what he's done. You go to most churches and they'll go, yeah, we believe Jesus is God. We believe Jesus is the Son of God, or at least the Son of God. We don't know if he's God. He was God's Son. He tried to please God. They'll twist and contort and wrestle with Scripture a lot of times and try to say he's not God. But most of them will say he's God. But they don't understand what he's done. Again, he's not just another chance that we have to get in. He's the only chance we have to get in. He's not a way in, he's the way to heaven. What has he done? He paid the sin of the world. He shed his precious blood on Calvary so he could offer it to the Father for your sin debt. And say, look, does this satisfy you? Oh, God, the Father's taking his blood and looking at his blood and bulls and goats, and he goes, yeah, it'll be all right for a while. And Jesus Christ takes his blood and says, how about this? And he says, yeah. I'll accept that forever. Anybody that'll call on me, anybody that trusts me as Lord and Savior, that's forever. Church age salvation, it's forever. Who is Jesus? What has he done? What is he doing? What is he doing? Right now he's at the right hand of the Father waiting to come back. Right now. Where's he at? Oh, wait a minute. What will he do? What will he do? I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll come back. And he'll call us out of here. And then there'll be a marriage in heaven. He's going to come back after the tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon, cast the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. And then he's going to rule and reign on that regenerated earth for 1,000 years. This earth, the first earth, it'll be regenerated, not renewed. Not a new earth as in another number, because the first heaven and the first earth pass away later. This first earth is going to be renewed because Jesus Christ steps back on it as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the devil, he's going to bind him for that 1,000 years, and the devil's going to be loose for a season. He's going to go around the earth, and he's going to get everybody against God's people and against Jerusalem, and they're going to get their big army together, and they're going to get us around Jerusalem. They're going to say, it's finally the time. We're going to get rid of these Jews. We're going to get rid of that Jesus guy. And we're going to have the world we want to have. Everything's just going to be perfect. We'll get the United Nations back together. We'll just have happy days again. Boy, I'll tell you, like we've ever seen happy days without Jesus Christ anyway. And we'll just get them all together. We're just going to fix this once and for all. And God's going to send fire down from heaven and destroy them. And then he's going to cast the devil in a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have already been for 1,000 years for eternity. That's what he'll do. But don't miss this. If you're lost, here's something else he's going to do right after that. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. And if your name's not written in the book of life, he's going to cast you in the lake of fire forever. Talking about judging people that are lost and people that are saved in a different time frame. But church age people are not going to be going through that great white throne judgment. You don't want to be at that one. You want to make the judgment seat of Christ right after the rapture. Sometime shortly after the rapture, amen? Where your works will be judged. But you need to take that seriously too. One-time deal. It's not a... Well, we're going to have a practice test. Well, your practice tests are down here. Amen? When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's not a dry run to see how things are going, to see if you can come back and try again later. That's it. That's it. And what you've done for Christ, truly for Christ, is going to make it through that fire. So, who is Jesus? What has He done? What is He doing? Well, He's waiting to come back. What will He do? Well, we just talked about that. Where is He now? He's at the right hand of the Father, and He indwells the believer. That's important stuff. Because if He's in you, and you're in Him, and He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven, then so are you. Where is He now? Where will He be? Oh, we're going to meet Him in the air one of these days. We're going to meet Him in the air. Right now, He's up there waiting to come back. I believe the Father's going to say, "Son, we'll get your bride. And we'll meet Him in the air." When's He coming back? Soon. Soon. Are you ready? I mean, you got to answer those questions. Who is Jesus? What has He done? Where is He? I mean, He's God the Father's second part. He's the express image of God. He's the second part of the Godhead. Not the broadhead, unless you're a deer hunter. He's the second part of the Godhead. The Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the answer. He's the door. He's the way. Who is He to you? What has He done for you? I mean, it's one thing to say, "I believe Jesus Christ died for the world. I died for sins. I believe John 3:16. But it's another thing to say, "He died for me and I called on Him. He's saving me. He saved me." Amen. Where is He now? I mean, personally speaking, we talked about where He is at the right hand of the Father, and He indwells the believer. Is He indwelling you? If you're saved, He is. I mean, these are questions that need to be answered, amen? Where is He? I mean, can you walk out that door and go live like a hellion and feel good about it? Because if you can, there's something wrong. Probably lost and on your way to hell. If there's never been a time that you thought you were saved and there never was a time you sinned and felt bad about it, you are lost. Maybe you're saved and you're so messed up and you fought God so long, you just said, "All right, go ahead. You want to go to your own destruction? Go ahead. Be an idiot." But you got to answer these questions for yourself. Who is Jesus? What has He done? Where is He now? Is He in you? I got a question for you. What is He doing in you? What He wants to, or what you're letting? Are they the same? That'd be good, wouldn't it? What you let Him do is what He wants to do. Honestly, that's not always the case with us, is it? He's doing what we let Him, but we're not letting Him do what He wants to do. Amen? Where is He now? When you think about Him coming back, do you get nervous and afraid? Or are you excited? I get nervous and afraid at Walmart. I get excited when I think about Him coming back. Amen. It's going to be a big day at Walmart. I'm sure, but much as we're at Walmart, I'll probably get raptured out of that place. Wouldn't that be something? Clean up in aisle 4, amen. That's what's left of a fat guy over there. I don't know what happened to him. Amen. Simon Peter knew who he was. And boy, you got to listen to that verse again. "And Simon answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" So do you believe, have you trusted Jesus Christ up here, and that's the only place? Because it's not a head issue, it's a heart issue. Have you trusted Him from the heart? Say, "Lord, I am guilty. I deserve hell. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose again. And I believe You can save me. Forgive me and save me. Trust in You and You alone." It's not about being Baptist. not about being Methodist. It's not about being a Presbyterian. God forbid, it's not about being a Muslim or a Catholic. It's about being saved. It's about being born again. You must be born again. Are you born again? Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read it, teach it, preach it. Lord, help us as we go through the day. And Lord, if anybody in here is lost on their way to hell, if anybody hears this message and they're lost on their way to hell, that they trust Christ from the heart and call on him before it's too late. It's his blood atonement. It's his death, burial, and resurrection. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it's personal. If anybody's not made it personal, they were trusting in church membership or trusting in their baptism or trusting in a head knowledge of Jesus Christ being God or Jesus Christ dying for the world, that today would be the day that they realized and called on him from the heart and trusted him and him alone. Help us as we go forward. We ask for your blessing on the nursing home ministry and the rest of the day, Lord. Just have your hand on Brother Scott and just bless and breathe on that message and the singing and those folks over there. And Lord, again, we're going to lift up Brother Mac to you, that you'd help him and heal him and guide his doctors. And all the folks at church, Lord, everybody we know, everybody has different needs, but you know what they all are, Lord. Bless and help each and every one of them, every one of us. We're looking for your appearing, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.